Blog Talk Radio.
Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Hello and welcome back to the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. We come to you to connect politics and finance, humanity and world peace, and of course the arts, in a way that encourages everyone to think for themselves so the best possible political and life choices are made by all. With artistic overtones, The Reasonable Voice is an advocate for a peaceful and prosperous world filled with creativity and political unity. I'm Marcello Rolando, your host, and our guest today is Judy Robinson, who is the VICAP Coordinator and Financial Wellness Specialist at JABA. Her duties include helping older adults and their families navigate Medicare Part D reviews, benefits applications, plan reviews for marketplace insurance, and reverse mortgage counseling. In other words, she's a great help to tell you what you need to do to get the most out of life and especially retirement. But today, we're going to talk to her about what most of us call Obamacare, which is actually officially known as the Affordable Care Act. Good morning, afternoon, and good day, Judy Robinson. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to talk to you again. And I think I've given the folks some idea of all that you do, but not completely, because you do a lot. But first of all, you're now helping people understand the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, so that they know what to do to navigate not only the website but the other means of getting coverage. And I guess we should, first of all, that's a yes or no question, I suppose. You do that, yes?
Yes, we did that.
And then let us begin with who is eligible. If someone calls you gets on your website or walks into your office and asks these questions, who is eligible? That's probably
okay.
One of their first questions.
Yeah, well, that is part of the website. Once it's up and running, is going to actually be sort of a sorting zone, because people can go in there and put their information in, and it'll show whether they're eligible for Medicare or they're eligible for Medicaid, or, you know, so that does function as a sorting mechanism. But we do that here, and when people come in and they are not eligible for staying on their parents' plan any longer, they don't have access to health insurance through their workplace, and they're not yet eligible for Medicare, then those people that don't have access to insurance in those other routes are the target group for the Affordable Care Act marketplace.
I see. And you counsel and help individuals as well as families navigate the new system.
Uh-huh. Right.
And go ahead.
We do individuals and families actually apply together so that they maximize their tax credits and cost sharing and that sort of thing.
Tell us, it may seem obvious to some, but explain to us tax credits and cost sharing. What does it mean exactly?
Well, the Affordable Care Act provides tax credits that are sort of work like the earned income credit does. You can take a portion of it throughout the year to help you pay your premiums, or you can get all or part of it at the end of the year for a tax refund. So that system's going to work very much like the earned income credit works, and you will be able to, as I said, take all or part of it throughout the year and then get the rest of it when you file your tax refund. And the cost sharing is there are funds that will be used to actually help you pay your copays. So when you have insurance, you pay your premiums, And then even when you go to the doctor, it doesn't mean the whole thing is covered. You'll still have a little copay that you have to pay. And the cost-sharing funds are used to help people in the right income range actually pay those copays as well.
I see. That's very good. There's so much, you know, just so much controversy and people, not only are there problems, but people making up problems that aren't there, you know, politically and in the media, et cetera. Do you get many people coming in with complaints or they're just saying, please help me, I need to understand this?
Most of what I see are just people wanting to know how it's really going to work and if it's something that they want to get involved in the first place, you know. So it is, it's not really most people who are going to be kind of anti-Affordable Care Act probably wouldn't come to we're doing
to learn about it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, but the good thing about what you and your team provides is that people, whether they like or don't like it, they get information so
right.
they can make an informed decision.
Well, it's funny, too, because people, they kind of have a sneaking suspicion that it's actually a good thing, but they hear so much negativity, they're a little shy, you know, of asking about it. And then once we start talking about it and they hear that, oh, yeah, they're right, it actually is kind of a good thing, they're very happy about it.
Very good. What are so they may come in with a frown or a wrinkled brow, but they leave smiling. Would you say
well,
that?
That's our goal. That's certainly our goal.
Excellent. Tell us today. I know there are three components that make up
mm-hmm.
the Affordable Care Act. Can you describe them or name them and sort of tell us about them, each of them?
Certainly. Yep. One plank of it is the reform of the healthcare delivery system. To try to, or I should say improvement, not really reform, but improvement of it, to make it more efficient, to avoid redundancy. So, you know, because a patient will go in and see their doctor and they'll get some blood test, and then, you know, if they have some reason they're admitted to the hospital that weekend, then maybe the same blood tests get done. And if we can have some kind of shared database between healthcare providers, we can avoid some of that redundancy and make the system more efficient and more cost effective. The second plank is to improve the efficacy of the insurance industry and make sure that a certain amount, the ACA provides that a certain amount of the money that is collected by insurance companies as premiums goes to actually paying out claims rather than going to administrative costs or, advertising or something, you know, something like that. So it's intended to make the insurance companies more efficient about how they provide payment for claims. And then the third plank, and this is the one that, you know, kind of rankles with people, is the mandate that all of us have to have some form of insurance, and
mm-hmm.
that's been probably the stickiest issue. And the thing about that is that it's really it's not ironclad. There's a number of different ways that you can have a waiver that you can get out of getting a penalty for it. And frankly, I think that the penalty won't even be necessary. Once people see how this works and what it does for them, they will they'll want to enroll on its merits and not just because they don't want to get a penalty, you know. And there are hardship waivers. Because Virginia didn't expand its Medicaid service, that's an automatic waiver basis for us here in Virginia. And there are religious objection waivers that you can get. So there's lots of different ways. It's not really meant to be something that's going to punish an already struggling family, you know, with the penalty. And, you know, so I think that's been kind of overemphasized.
So what it sounds like, and again, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, and we're not really necessarily passing judgment or politically or otherwise, but it sounds like to me you're saying once the glitches work out on the website, this sounds like a pretty good deal that has been formulated.
It is for a lot of people. There are some people, like, you know, because Virginia didn't expand its Medicaid, there are actually people that are at under 100% of poverty level that are going to be paying the same for their premiums as somebody that's 500% of poverty level. And because the Affordable Care Act was designed to have a certain hierarchy on it, and Virginia just didn't bring the bottom up to meet it, essentially. And so those people, they're the ones that are disappointed, you know, because they, you know, should be getting some help, and they're among the most needy in the state, and yet they're not going to get it, you know, with this. So, you know, at least at this point, I think we're on the right track with the Affordable Care Act, and I think that all the things that are going to be problems with the Affordable Care Act as it stands now are just going to be made clear that there are problems and that we need to do something about those things. So it'll be, it'll be longer coming, but I do think it sort of points up the problems and where the weaknesses are and what we need to work on.
All right, so Virginia, the Commonwealth, hasn't stepped up to the plate in a way that helps support the people on the lower end, but it's our hope. And for that matter, that reminds me of DARS, D-A-R-S.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what that is and how they mix into making this work in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Okay. DARS is the Department of Aging and Rehabilitative Services in Virginia, and they work, that's really the overseeing group for both the area agencies on aging, which the Jefferson Area Board for Aging, where I work, that's an area agency on aging. VICAP is also part of a nationwide network of other insurance counseling agencies. Each state has one. And each state has a whole network of the area agencies on aging. And then the Department of Aging and Rehabilitative Services, located in Richmond, is the group that oversees all of the VICAPs and the area agencies on aging. So their main concern is mostly with Medicare services and the Medicaid services, but it's Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services are the part of Health and Human Services that's actually overseeing the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. So it's all kind of worked in there, and different parts of the organization have different responsibilities in it. But it's a group effort.
So DARS is kind of the state umbrella over which or under which whatever JABA and ICAP operate.
Right.
But all the dots are connected, and when they are, that benefits the public most. Yes.
That's the hope, is that we provide a safety net over the whole state, so that there's always, wherever you are in the state, an area agency on aging and a Virginia Insurance Counseling Assistance Program office that you can contact and get help with those issues that you need help with.
Okay, so we're going to go to a break in about a half a minute or so, and when we come back, we'll let people know where they, at least Virginians, where they can get in touch with you and to get this assistance. But I'm just wondering, to the best of your knowledge, I know you know Virginia best, but there are other states that are stepping up to make all of this Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, work more efficiently, even before the federal government fixes the website. Is that true?
Oh yeah, yeah. Maryland, California. There's a number of states that Virginia is what they call a federally facilitated exchange, which means that the federal government is running the whole marketplace exchange here. The state government chose not to. Well, I think they're sort of partnering with it now, but they didn't really get in and design their own like some of the other states did.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen out there, we're with Judy Robinson, who obviously knows a great deal about the Affordable Care Act and is waiting for those in Virginia, at least, to ask their questions and get them answered so they know how to proceed. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Marcello Rolando, the host of The Reasonable Voice, with my guest, Judy Robinson.
When you walk into a hospital, you can feel the sense of care. That's why I want a woman who is a nurse. She will care for me twice as much. You can hear it in her voice, see it in her eyes, feel it in her touch. You ask why I say twice as much. Because I feel that women naturally care. By nature, they nurture. They naturally nurse, attend to wounds, bandage appendages with tenderness and mercy. With tender hearts, they tend and attend to hurts and hurting. Why do you think they're given the title of attendant? Because they are attentive with intensive care. That's what I want. Intensive care. I want somebody to care. I want someone to give a care, like a caregiver, like a caretaker. I'll be a caretaker because I'll take all the care I can get.
And that was our spoken word artist and poet, spoken word poet, Mr. Bernard Hankins, and we're back with Judy Robinson, who is a coordinator of financial wellness specialist at BICAP and also with JABA. Now, we are in Virginia with Judy Robinson, and I guess right away, so people have time, I hope they got their pens and paper during the break. Can you tell us, Judy, how does one get a hold of you and your team to ask questions via website, telephone number, street address? Let us know how we can benefit from your knowledge.
Okay. My line, the line for people to call about insurance questions is 434-817-5239. And our website is www.jabacares.org. And we're located on Hillsdale Drive in Charlottesville. And we have a number of satellite offices also throughout our planning district in Louisa, Fluvanna, Greene County, and Nelson County.
Excellent. And just one more time, if you will, Judy, the telephone number?
434-817-5239.
Thank you so much. Now, tell us, Judy, this you working there, are you get badges that you earn as navigators and certified application counselors? Tell us about that.
Right. There's more than two, but there are two sort of main groups of counseling counselors, and one is the Navigator program, and that's a federally funded program that Legal Aid Justice Center is the navigator for our area. The certified application counselors, that's JABA's designation, and we can help people with, you know, plan comparisons and getting their applications in online, that sort of thing. Now, the navigators,